We're learning Parashat Shelach Lecha, as you know. Parashat Shelach Lecha is the story of the Meragilim. And everybody knows the story of the Meragilim there. 12 spies were dispatched. 10 of them came back with a malignant report, and 2 of them came back with a good report, Yoshua and Caleb. It's probably hinted, by the way, in the beginning of the parasha, that 2 out of 10 are going to 2 out of 12 are going to succeed. Because if you look at the beginning of the parasha, it says, "Shirach lecha anashim, send people v'yatut es kena." And it said, "Ish echad, ish echad." Why does it have to say "ish echad, ish echad"? It probably says "ish echad, ish echad" to come along and say there's going to be ish echad from one shevet and ish echad from another shevet. And that's all. It's going to be. At the end of the day, it's going to be 2 people. It's going to be ish echad, ish echad. Anyway, they come back, and they were there for 40 days. And then when they come back, Borei Olam gets very angry at them, and he says, "Oh, you spoke bad about the land, and you know, as a result, you're going to die in the midbar." And none of you are coming into the Midbar, into the Eretz Yisrael as a result of it. And it was a terrible gezerah. I mean, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of people that would end up, perishing in the Midbar because, you know, you say, what did the people do? Well, the people accepted it, because what happened, they cried. And they should have told the spies, "What are you talking about? The land is a great land, jump in the lake." Instead, they bought into it. So they bought into it, so you're guilty
also. But
they also
were great chachamim also, so they were respecting it.
Great chachamim. Kulam
anashim.
But they were big.
They were not.
No question about it. But we cannot deny, if the Torah says they made a sin, we have to confess that they made a sin. We cannot cover up
right,
the sin. The Torah says they made a sin. Although
they
maybe it's not a... Yeah, even though it might not be a sin like we make, of course. But nonetheless, it's a sin. My question always was, and I didn't find an answer really till this year. My question always was, so they spoke bad about the land of Israel. I'm not saying they did. They spoke bad. They said there's giants, and there's people dying all day long, and it's a land that eats its inhabitants. And they live in these fortified cities, and you know, it's not an easy thing. And basically they were saying is, you know, we're better off maybe to stay here in the Midbar. And they had a good life in the Midbar. They were learning Torah all day long. It's not like they were fooling around. You know, that's the same. Now, you want to call that, which the rabbis say, oh, they spoke Lashon Hara on the land. And the rabbis all say, they said, what's the connection between last week's parasha and this week's parasha? Because last week's parasha, they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. And this week's parasha, they're talking about Lashon Hara about the land. And as if to say, they didn't learn their lesson. And last week they spoke about Moshe, and you see what happened. And now they speak about the land. They should have known, as if they should have read last week's parasha. Miriam and Aaron said a few words negative about Moshe, although they didn't intend to speak negative, but it came out that way. And all of a sudden they became leprosy. Aaron's whole body became white like a leper. And Moshe had been had to pray, "Ena refan Allah." And without that prayer of Moshe, who knows what would have happened to Miriam. So the rabbis come along and say, and you, the shine, you didn't see that? You come the week after you speak Lashon Hara? Which means, if the story of Aaron and Miriam would have happened in Parashat Noach, it's okay, they forgot about it. Noach was in the winter already, you know, this is Parashat Shelach. So they forgot the story, you know, you forget things happen. But it just happened yesterday. The next day, boom, Shalach HaNashim, and you go make the same Avon. That's the Simichut of the Parashiyota, yeah? I mean, I don't say that. Doesn't Rashi say that in the beginning? למה נסמכה פרשת מרגלים לפרשת מרים? לפי שלקת על עסקי דיבה שדברה באחיה, ורשעים הללו ראו ולא לקחו מוסף. These רשעים, they saw it and they didn't get מוסף.
Because the spies wicked.
רשעים. What else did it say there?
Exactly what you just said.
So what do you need me for? Just read the English. What are you wasting?
That's why I brought it. I just want to make sure you don't.
That's what I said. What I, so read the English. So what am I, an audio book?
I got the white flag.
Anyway, and every week it's you. So now, you can always lie and get to save you. So now, this Hashem never understood either. I mean, these Rishayim, they saw what happened, they didn't get Musar. What Musar were they supposed to get? Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe. So they should have said, they spoke about Moshe. So I learned a lesson. I can't speak about a land. No, what I learned from Moshe is you can't speak about Moshe. These are Shain, they saw and they didn't learn Musar. By the way, who ever heard of Lashon Hara about a land? If I come along and say, this America, the government's going to pot and the politicians and the pollution. I have Lashon Hara. Chafetz Chaim is going to be speaking about a country that's Lashon Hara all of a sudden. No, but Israel. Wait, show me. I don't know nothing. Show me where there's halacha that there's lashon hara. You speak bad about Israel. I'm not saying you should speak about. I'm not saying it's a good idea. But in the laws of lashon hara, that's what that means. I can't speak about a guy. But if I go to Israel and I come along and say, these hotels in Israel, garbage. All hotels, second rate. You spoke against the King David, the hotel. Now go with Mahila. I'm thinking about sticks and stones. Someone owns it? Who owns it, by the way? I'm speaking about the guy. I'm speaking about the land. If I come along and say, look at all these rocks. Who owns the rocks? If I come along and say, look at all the rocks in America also then. You understand what I'm trying to say here? What's the big thing? They should have learned. Yes, which means if I'm a good student, I'll come along and say from last week's class I learned, you know what? Don't talk about anybody, but be careful. Don't talk about Moshe. You're going to talk about Moshe, your body's going to turn into leprosy in 1 minute. And even if you're Aaron HaKohen, by the way. And even if you're his older brother. And even if you didn't mean it. And even if it's unintentional. And even if they did it for the goodness. They didn't do it. Doesn't matter. So you know what I would like the next parashah to say? The next parashah would come along and say, and the Meragelim came along, and they spoke about Moshe. Then they said, Moshe, Moshe is no good. Hey, Rishayim, you didn't have last week? But it doesn't say that. It says, these Rishayim go to Israel, and they come back and they say, giants, and there's all sorts of stuff over there. Oh, this is terrible. And Moshe says, he's speaking much about the land. Then you learn. And okay, so he spoke much about the land. Now, let's say there's a Chafetz Chaim somewhere that says you can't speak much about the land. For that, 40 years death in the Midbar? By the way, when they spoke against Moshe, they didn't die. Now you think we spoke about the land, which is clearly less than Moshe. And for that, not only they die, but 40 years in the Midbar, everybody perishes. How could that happen? If you want to tell me, listen, they got leprosy, all the spies. I said, okay, similar to last week's parasha, even though I don't know what the similarity is. I got leprosy. No, worse than leprosy. Wow. And how come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come after and say, I'm not in front of him? When it came to Miriam and Aaron, which is only two people, in five words, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to put this thing to bed. I'm not in front of him. Boom, game over, finished, he got better. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a power of tefillah, yes? Should have been able to say, this is a terrible thing. I spoke to the Rabotai, I'm going to make a tefillah now, and finish it. No, there's no tefillah here. Or there's a tefillah, but it doesn't do the job.
But they were the originals. They're the guys that saw it. These are the guys that it's not.
But you can just speak to the Rabotai about a land.
But they were supposed to.
You're right. I'm not saying they didn't make a sin.
No, now forget the sin. They were there to. They were there from day one. They saw all the miracles. They saw everything going from Hashem. These are the biggest people of the Jewish world. They come in, they know Eretz Yisrael is the main
great item.
To. This is everybody's looking forward to going.
So you're hitting the, so the guy hitting, comes, he's hitting. Seymour is already putting us on the dinner. Now I'll tell you the way that you have to approach the parasha. It's a new way of approaching the parasha, but I believe it's emet, and I bring proofs to it. Who put me on this approach? The Beni Chai. I told you that they found new manuscripts of the Beni Chai that they never had before. When the American army went into Iraq recently, they found in Saddam Hussein's basement, they found Ketivei Yad of the Beni Chai. He was the collector of the Ketivei Yad. So they didn't know what it was. They brought it back to America, and the curators in the museum saw it. They said, this is Beni Chai's writing. And they found, never published writings of the Beni Chai Hadushim, never saw the light of day. And could be that's why, probably, in my opinion, that's why President Bush decided to go fight against Iraq. And there was no weapons of mass destruction, by the way. The weapons of mass destruction were these Beni Chai Hadushim over here. So America spent billions of dollars on a war that they probably shouldn't have fought just to recover the Hadushim of the Beni Chai, because one Hadush of the Beni Chai is worth. So by the way, the Hadushim that I'm telling you now are very expensive. These Hadushim cost the United States hundreds of billions of dollars in order to recover these Hadushim, because Iraq is the same way it was before they went down. It's still in turmoil, it's still upside down, and there's still Iran and Iraq, and they're fighting, and Sunni and Shia and all the Shaim. Nothing changed. $100 billion later, it's the same balagan that's going on over there. Fallujah and this one, that one. Nothing changed. So yes, why did they go? Weapons of mass destruction they never found. Ever they went to get the manuscripts of the Beni Chai. It was a big war, expensive war, but worth it. To me, it was well worth it. I say to President Bush, money well spent. How much would you pay for Hadush of the Beni Chai? I don't know if the Americans appreciate that. I don't know if the Democrats appreciate that. But clearly,
we would have this class this morning.
We would have this class. It'd just be a different, be a cheaper class. But now it's now clearly it's an expensive premium, this class. Beni Chai says something amazing. He says that he tells a story. I have to read it inside the story because some of you, if I say the story outside, you'll say, what's the rabbi telling such a story like that for? It's not nice. So if I read it inside, you see that the Beni Chai told the story. Everybody over here is over 18 years old. Okay. He says, Shamati, Pa'amahat, Ehad Givir, there was a rich man, Hashuv guy, Mimanhigeh Kahal, leaders of the Kahal, Asa Avera Basetir. He made a sin in private. What did he do? Sheshachav Behedr Sagur, Im yeled ehad mishkav zachur. Unfortunately, today you hear these things also. He molested a kid in private. He wasn't the head of a football team or anything like that. That's for granted they do that. That they do it in public. That's in the showers they do that. But this was in a private room. Everybody thinks he's a hashuv guy. Meanwhile, he's molesting kids in the private room. What happened? Look what Hashem does. And this is a big lesson. Ubinyana cheder v'tikra shelo haya hazak. He just rebuilt the house. Solid house. And he went into the room over there that he just built, and that's where he did the avon. V'inim min ha-shamayim nafla ha-tikra alehim. The ceiling fell on them. Umetu be'odam shuvim ze'al ze. They died. They both died. But they were in the act. So when the Hezra came, they saw that this guy's really Rasha. Which means he thought he's going to get away with it. He figured he's going to get away with it. Who's going to know? Who's going to know nothing? Hashem says they're going to know exactly what you did.
He's the boy. He's a victim.
It's a story that happened. People die every day.
That I'm aware of.
So now, he caught him. Venoda lakol ma'aseh ha'avera hazot. Everybody then was at the funeral. The rabbi knew not to talk so good about this guy. This guy, even though he did a lot of good things in his life, but
can't talk about that.
I can talk about the guy now. Like what he did, like how they caught him. It's like the guy that the rabbi of the shul during the break on Yom Kippur, he goes into his office, and over there he has a tuna fish sandwich. You know, he closes his office. Nobody sees him in the office. He eats a tuna fish sandwich. Everybody always wanted to wonder every year the rabbi, when he comes back from the Ayilah, pies. That's so much strength, this guy.
Maybe he needed for medication. Maybe for his medication.
No, he's the one guy. So he comes back, and he comes like he's a Sadiq and all that. So the same thing that happened last time. He's eating the tuna fish, and he chokes on the sandwich. So when they open the door, they see him dead on the thing with the sandwich over here, like this. So Hashem has a way. You think this, I'll never get caught.
Oh,
Hashem has a way, and you'll never dream. How can I get you? You always say to yourself, how can I get caught? There's no way I can get caught. There's way. And there's not one way. Hashem has
the other way.
A zillion ways to catch the guy and to publicize his avon to the people. In this case over here, it was obvious to the Hadra that the guy was. So he goes on to say what the rabbi said at his funeral, how he talked about how Hashem, you know, revealed this, this guy. He says, and the Ben Ishchai says that when somebody dies an unnatural death or a supernatural death, so you see clearly this is a judgment of God. If a person would have died a regular, if this manhig, for example, would have died a regular death, you never would have known any of this. But when the person dies such a gory death in such a abnormal way, it makes such a shock on the people that the people say, wow, this guy must have committed a big time avon. Now, for example, many times in the Gemara says, when the rabbis got angry at somebody, there was a Gemara that says, the rabbi was saying, it says that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be stones in Jerusalem, stones of diamonds and gold and silver that are going to be, you know, tremendous, like the size of, rocks. Nobody said anything. It's a big hakor. A diamond the size of a rock of a kote, let's say. One of the students one day went on a boat, and he saw the image of that rock. So he came back to the shi'ud. He said, Rabbi, I want to say something. You were right. I saw it. The rabbi got angry at him. He said, what? And if you didn't see it, you didn't believe? He lifted up his eyes, and all of a sudden the guy turned into gal atzamot. He turned into a pile of bones. No, because the rabbi understood that that's a big avonde, because he's trying to say, when you said it,
I didn't believe
when
that.
You said it, come on. Hard to believe. But the rabbi said it. The rabbi's quoting the pasuk. He quoted the pasuk to prove it. But the guy was skeptical, but he didn't want to blame. He's not going to bow down the rabbi. But when he comes back, he says, Rabbi, you're right. I saw it. Oh, no. What did he do, by the way? He now is telling the whole class, unless we see it, what this guy says is questionable. Mm-hmm. So now you put a whole doubt in everything till now that the rabbi said. That's what I'm saying. Because until it's proven visually, whatever the rabbi said now is up for debate. So Rabbi Yohanan said, this is a big avon. This is a big avon over here. If I'm Rabbi Yohanan could have said, by the way, you know what, I'm going to let him die. He'll die in his sleep. If he would have died in his sleep, the people would have said, people die in their sleep, God forbid. They wouldn't have known that it was related to this. He had to make it not only known that it's for this, but it's such an avon that he did. So he didn't just kill him, he turned into a pile of bones. Now, you know how long it takes a person's body to turn into bones? After they bury him, maybe it takes 6 months for the body to decay. This guy, when they looked at him a second later, looked like he was dead for 100 years. He's bones, where's his flesh? The people said, what? What? Do you see what happened over here? Not only did the Rav zap him, but the guy's been dead for 100 years. They said, wow, this is a big avon. So you see, from the way the sentence is put, you could measure the severity of this. Now, keep in mind, by the way, how did the Meragelim die? Most of you, Baruch Hashem, you had breakfast already, so I'm not going to hesitate to explain it to you. The Gemara says such an odd way that they died. Forget about everybody else in the Midbar that they died for the next 40 years. The way the 10 guys died, it says their tongue came out of their mouth, like a swelled tongue, and it reached into their belly button. The tongue reached all the way down. Imagine that. You ever see a tongue become... Dr. Bobby's a name for this in the medical
field.
Angiodemus? Yeah, but even this, you're not going to have a name for what I tell you now. It went into their belly button, and all of a sudden... And all of a sudden, Baruch Abba, Baruch Abba. Baruch Abba. Listen to what happened. Then all of a sudden their tongue, the meat of the tongue became rancid. And all of a sudden, worms started to come out of it.
Oh.
Now, what's that called? There's no name for that.
No.
Which means this wasn't a medical item.
That one you never saw.
The people are looking over here. Well, tongue reaches their belly button. All of a sudden, worms start coming out as if they were dead for 100 years. The worms and the maggots, they don't come until... But a minute, a guy dies. Worms come on him immediately? Of course not. Yeah. It takes time for that to happen. This happened... Moshe Rabbeinu was saying a lesson over here. Rabotai, Rabotai. You see this over here? This was such a avon that you're going to look at this. When they're not going to die a normal death. You have to know what they did over here was so beyond. And the people, when they saw that, they said, hold it, hold it. There's something we're missing over here. If they died like this, this is not Lashon Hara about the land. For Lashon Hara about the land, you're not getting this over here. It doesn't warrant such a... Something much, so they started to analyze what happened. And you know what the Bein Ish Chai says? The Bein Ish Chai says, here's the point of what the Avon is. Hine kan! Avon ha-meragelim. Lo haya rak avon ha-nogeya b'chavod ha-aref. She-otsiyu alea diba. Ela haya inyan avon hamur b'meod. Very severe. Shu hachasha b'nevuat Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the avon. You're questioning the prophecy of Moshe. It happened to be they questioned it legabe Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael, that's the side point. The main thing is you're putting now question in Moshe Rabbeinu's words. Sheze ha'avon. With that avon.
Good.
Sheze avon ye petach patuach laharos po kol haTorah. Because once already Moshe Rabbeinu said the land is a good land. We're going into the land. It's the promise. How many times did Moshe Rabbeinu say? From Egypt he said. From Egypt he said. And God's going to take us out. We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to be there. How many times? And now when they come back and they say, no, Moshe, this is, he doesn't know what he's talking about, this guy. This guy, Moshe, that's telling us about this land, he wants to hurt us. So you say, listen, they made a mistake with the land. No, forget about the land. Now you're saying to the people that not everything that Moshe Rabbeinu says is necessarily correct.
Undermining the whole thing.
And then you've undermined not Eretz Yisrael, you've undermined the Teriyag Mitzvot. That's what the Menagelim did. Because once Moshe Rabbeinu could be wrong with Eretz Yisrael, maybe he could be wrong. If he could be wrong once, he could be wrong twice. If he could be wrong twice, he could be wrong 200 times. So the Menagelim, it's a major sin. It's Kofer Beikar, exactly. Vehem Dibru Alav La. They spoke bad about Moshe. Now, if that's the case, I understand the connection between last week's parasha. The Bein Ish Chai doesn't say this. That's my 2 cents I'm adding in. From the Bein Ish Chai's principle, I opened up my eyes. In last week's parasha, what happened? It says, Miriam and Aharon spoke about Moshe. And these Nisharim saw... And they didn't get Musar. And what did they do? They didn't only speak about Moshe, they doubled down on it. They doubled down, which means, Miriam and Aharon, they did it unintentional, it was a mistake, they didn't mean it, and they should have told it. If you speak about Moshe unintentionally, look what happens to you. Now you're going to speak about Moshe with Kavanah. And you don't think there's going to be a rebel. For this, leprosy is not enough. El Narefana is on a mistake, on a shogeg. But after this, and you're going to undermine the whole Torah from its roots, there has to be such a punishment, like Rabbi Yochanan, Gal Atzamot. The people have to say, what? They're going to turn into bones, and there's worms coming out of their bodies. They were dead for 100 years. What did they do? That's what they did. You know what they did over here? If these guys get away with this Avon over here, there's no law. There's no Torah. So he comes along and he says, unbelievable. So it comes out. By the way, I'll say a hadush now. It comes out. What's next week's parasha? Korach. Now you understand Korach, Avon. Because everybody's doubling down over here. It started off with Miriam and Moshe. Unintentional. They didn't mean to say anything bad. And all of a sudden the spies come back. And they don't speak directly against Moshe. They speak about the land, but that's Moshe. You understand? They coax it up in a... They didn't come back and say, Moshe, they said, the land. Hold on, I said the land, I told you the land is good. You're talking about me, by the way. Wise guy, you're talking about the land, but you're talking about me, by the way. You understand? Subversive. I don't know what that means. But the point is, Jack, listen to the point. In next week's parasha, Korach doubles down. Korach comes directly against Moshe. You see, next week he doesn't come along and he says, you're usurping the throne, you're a megalomaniac. Now, forget about it. Now, it's not enough for them to die with their tongue. Now God has to make a bigger item. The ground has to... So you see three parashiyot in a row. Parashat Shelach, Parashat Ma'alotecha, Parashat Shelach. It's all the same item. And you see the result as it progressed. Avera go to it, Avera.
Maybe that's why it says, never forget what Midian did.
100%. 100%. 100%. It starts off talking about the rabbis. Okay, nothing bad. But it doesn't end there.
Never.
Once you start talking about the rabbis, you start talking about, no, I love the rabbi. Don't get me wrong. Rabbi Harod, Hakad, I saw him the other day, and a small thing. And then all of a sudden, the next day, somebody comes along, and he adds, before you know it, you're talking about now major things. Where did it start? It started from, so if you don't nip it in the bud from Parashat Ba'alotecha, it's going to lead to Korah. And that's exactly what happens. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to go over here and not to his kavod, Chas v'Shalom, not to his kavod. But if these guys get away with it, there's no more Torah, there's no more... Now, let me tell you something else. It's an eye-opener. Now, if this is true, they basically said it. Is there a pasuk? Do we have a mishleh over here? You have Mishle? Okay, if you have Mishle, I don't think you have Mishle. It's not one of the five books. Listen to Hadush. What did they mean when they came back and said? Okay, good. Perek Lamed Pasuk Chav Zayin. Just get it ready. When they came back to Moshe Rabbeinu, they come along and say, "V'nehiyu be'enenu kahagavim v'chen ayinu be'enehem." What did they come along? They said, we felt like grasshoppers. We felt like grasshoppers, and that's the way they looked at us. What were they saying?
That they were giants.
We felt like grasshoppers. And that's the way we were perceived. Simple, it's like you're saying.
But how they know that's what they're
going to do? That's a good question. Uh-huh. Which means. Simple interpretation, they said in front of these giants, we felt like grasshoppers. These guys are big guy like this. Now, the Beragidim were big. But compared to these guys, we felt like grasshoppers. That's what they meant to say. And that's the way they perceived us. Wasn't that the way they perceived us? We heard them. We heard them saying, hey, look at those grasshoppers in the... I mean, they didn't even think we were humans. We heard them saying, hey, look at those little grasshoppers over there.
All the giants were saying that?
Yeah, yeah. How'd they know that they were perceived like that? Because the giants were sitting over there. They said, oh, look at that, look at the grasshopper. It wasn't a grasshopper, it was Caleb and Yifune, it was Shabbat Ben Ori, big guys. That's a simple interpretation. They were just trying to show the people how big these guys are and how small we were compared. But there's another interpretation. The Ben Ish Chai says, incredible interpretation. And again, it's a guy's knock against Moshe. This grasshopper item is an attack against Moshe, but in a subtle way. Where if you it's not like Korah. Korah comes with things between Moshe's eyes. They come along with grasshoppers. Now, if you don't get the grasshopper joke, then you miss it. But if you know the grasshopper joke, you understand that this was an attack directly against Moshe. But you have to know what Shlomo said about grasshoppers. Shlomo has a comment on grasshoppers.
I'm sorry, Rabbi, did they instigate it to the Meraglim? It sounds like it was instigated.
This is volume 1. Give me a Berech HaKabad there. Perek Lamed. Perek Lamed, I think, Pasuk Chavzai. Why do you have to answer? Why do you have to answer? Everybody that has a question, you have to answer. Sometimes you don't have to answer. Rabbi saw it. Don't answer every. Chabad didn't answer every guy to ask him a question. Sometimes you ignore. Sometimes you ignore, it goes away. In this case, it doesn't go away. Look what it says in Perek Lamed Pasuk Chav Zayin. Melech en la arbeh. The arbeh, the locust, doesn't have a king. The locust doesn't have anybody managing them. The locust, they run wild. They have no king. So they come along and say to Moshe, when we were there, we said, what are we doing here? We look like a nation without a king. If we had a leader, would a leader put us in this danger over here to bring us to this dangerous place? And that's what we heard the people saying. The people were saying, must be these people have no leader. If they're going to come into this dangerous area, then they have, they must be without a... Basically, they were telling Moshe that we felt like grasshoppers. They were saying, we felt like we have no melech. And suddenly they were...
So that's like Korah.
But it's indirect way. Okay. Now look at the language of the Ben Ish Chai. Just so you see the beauty of the Ben Ish Chai. Is that not worth $1 billion what they found from the Ben Ish Chai? All these other sheep are worth it. I'm telling you they're worth it. Look what he says over here, the Ben Ish Chai's left shoulder. What? No, they say we sound like we have no leader.
No leader.
If we had a leader, would they put us in
the
danger?
Hammering Moshe.
If Moshe the Ben was a normal leader, would he bring us into the second hour here?
Hammering Moshe.
He didn't want him to go.
would he bring us to this forsaken place to put us in the second hour here? So he says the Ben Ish Chai's lasso. Look at the lasso over there. He says, "Ubeofen nireh kazeh benhi benu ka'agabin bezeh lekanter neged Moshe Rabbeinu." It's come against Moshe. Ve'ramzu me'at b'dimenu lemos b'malchutam. They say, "What is Moshe doing?" Al asher bi'am b'shamna makom sakana. He brought us to such a dangerous place, and he wants to not only endanger us. We're only 12 men. He wants to endanger the whole nation. Ve'ainu ki amru razal. What does it mean? And we felt like that, and that's how they perceived us. We heard the goyim say, we see grasshoppers amongst us. You know what they meant to Kena'anim? Lomar, elu amiragilim shebaur ragil. They saw the spies. These spies that are over here, they're like grasshoppers. Shem arbe she'en lahem melech ve'ro'eh k'desh yishmor otam k'dichtiv melech en l'arbe ki umash yesh la melech. A nation that has a king, humanigam, he's careful, he's worried about them. But these guys, obviously they don't have a leader that's worried about them, because if they're bringing these guys into this place over here, this guy has no leadership, and therefore she'im aya lahem melech humanig. Lo aya shuleyach otam lemkom sakana kaze. Oh, so you see over here, that was an attack. It sounds like a very you know, paw of item. We felt like grasshoppers.
Who are these Indians?
What they were saying is, we felt like people that have no leader. Basically, the same what should have been.
We had a leader,
wouldn't have brought us over here. We feel like grasshoppers that have no guidance.
Big shambling.
That's a big knock. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not taking any of this personally. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all men, and this is not a personal fact, but Moshe Rabbeinu knows that if this goes unchecked, it's not about Menagelim and it's not about Eretz Yisrael. This is going to be about
this is the first time
the
he
future.
Ever, this is the first time he ever came to this.
100%.
He never did this before.
100%. You never see an attack like this.
Never.
And Moshe Rabbeinu has to go into an extreme way over here. And all of a sudden you see the people start, their tongues start to come out. Because this was a sin of the tongues, of the worms that were coming out. To show you that wasn't just Lashon, because when Miriam and Aaron spoke to Lashon, there was no worms in their tongues like that. Because that was an unintentional item, but to go against Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, it answers another question that I have. It's a new way of... Now, by the way, I'll tell you Hadush now. Comes out after the story of the spies, the veracity of Moshe Rabbeinu, or the credence of Moshe, or the belief in Moshe has just been upgraded, because until we get to Perashat Korah, but at this point over here, after the people saw what happened, when they saw the worms and that, what did the people say? Moshe is right.
Yeah.
Moshe is right. You know,
that's why they go to war.
Who went to war?
They said we're going anyway.
Well, that was the Mapirim. You're right. The Mapirim are a large minority of the Klai Yisrael. Yeah. But after the fact, when they saw what happened, the people have no doubt Moshe Rabbeinu is right. Which means, just like the students of Rabbi Yohanan, when they saw the kid turn into Gal Atzamot,
you believe.
You say, Rabbi Yohanan, we take Rabbi Yohanan. When he says something, I don't got to see it. Go slow. No. You can't. Okay, accept the respect. Thank you for the respect. The point is, I'm not getting, I don't understand everything. Well, I'm not the smartest guy. I said every question. This question is, I don't understand.
Where's an instigator?
Save it later.
Don't even save it later. Throw it out now. This is what I'm telling you now. How can you save it? Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm explaining to you, Rabotai. Listen to what I'm explaining to you. Here, when the Jewish people, after the Meragirim, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Imunan Moshe, has to go up. Always after you see the stunning, which means after they caught that Manhig, the Ben Ish Chai talks about. Everybody knows there's God in the world, and don't fool around. You can get caught, and God will catch you, and you can't fool. At least for that moment, it's strengthened, yes? Sure. So, the Meragilim, we have to point this out. Although they were malicious in this, but something good came out. You know, sometimes even from a bad story, we have something good to come out of it.
Strength of Moshe.
Right, the strength of Moshe Rabbeinu clearly has come. That's one of the unintended consequences of the Meragilim. They didn't intend that. They didn't come to strengthen Moshe. For sure. Basically, they came to knock him. But unintended consequences that Hashem knows how to work it out, that instead of them being the ones that weakened Moshe, it turns out as a result, for the objective reader that sees what happened, say, well, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was right. Moshe Rabbeinu was right about Israel. And if he's right about Israel, yeah, and that's what it means, maybe, when you look at the beginning of the Parasha, it says, Shalach Lecha Anashim. What is Shalach Lecha? Lecha. Send for you, Anashim. Just say, Shalach Anashim. Moshe Rabbeinu should talk about, they're not sending for me. There's nothing to do with me. They want to go see the land. What is Shalach Lecha? God was telling you from the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to benefit from this. Shalach Lecha Lehanaatcha. You're going to benefit from this item over here.
Not really, because he benefited. You're right.
There's going to be a benefit that's going to result. And the benefit that's going to result, although it was unintended, is going to be from this story, it's going to cement the Emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu to another level that it was not yet. It's always like that. By the way, It's always like that. It's always like that until you learn the lesson. For example, the people in the Midbar. What's the story right after the Meragelim? There's a guy. In the Midbar. He's Mehalel Shabbat. Listen to it. A guy right after the story over here of the Meragelim. There's a guy. A story in this parasha. He's Mehalel Shabbat. Chopped wood, exactly. Collected wood, chopped wood. Look what he did. And then what do? They take him and they stone him. And the rabbis say that the guy who did this was a tzaddik. He was the Shem Shamayim. What was the Shem Shamayim about him? He wanted to show the people. Everybody knew Shehadu Shabbat. But until you see a guy get stoned for Shabbat, okay, Shabbat. But once they saw a guy get stoned, now you know what that did for the Shabbat? Shabbat just won 10 levels. You got it. The Mikoshes gets credit.
He was the example.
If anybody which means his Chilul Shabbat brought to a lot of Shemirat Shabbat. Awareness, which is until somebody got stoned, you don't know how serious it is. And all the guy did is he fooled around, he did something, or they throw him off a building. What happened to that? What did they throw him off a building? Oh, Shabbat. Wow. Wow. What, you don't know about Shabbat yesterday? I know about Shabbat yesterday. I see what's going on over here. And that's the same thing that happened in the Meragelim. You ask a guy the day before, you believe in Moshe? Yeah, of course. After the Meragelim? No question about it. I saw those snakes coming out of these guys' mother. There's no doubt about it. So, Shelach Lecha, which means Moshe Rabbeinu, as a result of the Meragelim, you're going to get a boost. There's going to be a little bigger emo. Although we wish it didn't happen this way. Of course we wish it wouldn't happen this way, but understand how we're learning the Lecha? Now, what you guys say about the Derasa, but this is the rabbi saying it's good. You see, that his opinion, I want to know what
he
likes it.
He
likes it, then we're good.
If
the guy in the back says, Rabbi, good Derasa, what does he know? You understand? But the guy is a rabbi, he teaches Torah all day long, and he comes along and says it's a good Derasa. I go home, I tell my wife, the rabbi said it's a good Derasa. Now.
So what do you think?
He's out of it, isn't it? You want to change his mind? He's trying to change his mind. He's playing with the witness side. He's interpreting the witness side. Don't fool around the witness. He said it's a good dead ass.
Here comes the rain.
Go slow. One more dead ass. One more dead ass, I'll let you go. With this, I explain something else. It's a new way of looking at the Meragelim. It's not about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, of course, is what they talked about, but that's the small item. The big item is you're challenging the whole Torah with this story over here. And therefore, we have to go berserk on this. This is the whole religion. It's a parashat shelah, by the way, tomorrow's makam is hajaz, because if this parashah succeeds, the whole religion becomes hajaz. The whole religion becomes Shabbat, exactly. No, I was listening to you. Now watch one more. Ask yourself a question. So it says, how many years did they get punished for? We're done. 40 years. 40 years they got punished, right? So why 40 years? So every day they got punished a year, because they went for 40 days. So every day, a year. No problem, I got the math. But I don't understand. If they went for 60 days, they get 60. The Avon was not the amount of days that they went. The Avon was that they spoke against Moshe. So what's the 40 days have to do with anything? Which means, happened to be, they went for 40 days. It's true. But why should when the judge is giving the sentence, they say, you went for 40 days? That wasn't my sin. The sin wasn't going for 40 days, which means a guy goes and murders somebody, right? So they say, you drove from New York to Chicago to murder somebody, and the sin is the murder. But since it takes from New York to Chicago, you were 15 hours in the car to get the sin. So for every hour, we give you a year in jail. No, the Avon wasn't driving from New York to Chicago. The Avon is what he did in Chicago when he murdered. You understand the mashal? So here God says, we're punishing you. 40 days, 40 years. 40 days wasn't the sin. Unless you say, you were trying to undermine the Torah that was given 40 days and 40 nights. That's your Avon over here. The 40 days It's not 40 days because you were there. You were trying to turn the Torah upside down 40 days and 40. That's where you're going to get punished one day for you. For every day that you tried to undermine the Torah of 40 days, you get a year punishment for that. Oh, that's already, I understand. It's a much more severe punishment. And that's the avon you deserve to get punished for. That's a crime. Because to undermine the Torah of 40 days is a big avon. That's not something that we take lightly. So what's the musar that we take out of this over here? The musar over here is a butai. You have to be careful. Exactly. Not to talk about rabbis. Not to talk about, today it became fashionable. It became fashionable to talk about rabbis. You have Amma Arif that doesn't even know where the Shulchan Aruch is in the bookshelf. If the Shulchan Aruch landed on his head, he wouldn't know what it is. Let alone, go ask him, bring me Mishnah Brura. He'll go in for 40 days, 40 days, 40 nights. He won't know where. He won't come out. Where's the Mishnah Brura? I'm getting it. He doesn't know what Mishnah is. He doesn't know what Brura is. He doesn't know anything. And they come along and they see a rabbi gives a halachic ruling, and as the guy's riding his bicycle on Shabbat, hey, why did the rabbi do this? You learned Shulchan Aruch, you know anything, you studied, you learned, you opened the book, so you start to. But what's their kavana? They don't care about the halakha per se. They're coming to which means they want to destroy the whole thing. They pick one halakha. What is this? Well, it's not the halakha. It's not the halakha. This is the crack. This is to get in there in order to say, therefore, just like they don't know what he's doing over there, what are you listening to these guys for all day long? They're making up stuff. Yeah. And all that. Now, it's one thing to talk about a rabbi of our generation, but again, Shinabenu was. For that matter, even in our generation,
today,
even
you're knocking the 100%,
because once you put a question in the Hakamim,
you're putting a question in Torah.
100%. And therefore, you have three parashiyot in a row to teach you the same lesson. That must be it's an important lesson. And by the way, if the Beis Chai is right, which of course he's right, it has to be somewhere in the text that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he rebukes the Medagelim, it has to be somewhere in the text that he's going to tell them, your sin was not about Israel. It's because you didn't have Emunat Chachamim. Well, if you look at the text is clear. Because if you go at the end of the parasha when they come back and all that, so
they
pasuk,
did it in a way because these were chachamim also.
Now watch this here. The pasuk is beautiful. Vayilonu al Moshe vel Aharon vayomer aleihem. Well, we should have stayed in the midbar. We should have not have come here. You're making up stuff. That's what they're really saying. So it says over here. Look what the pasuk says over here. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Pasuk is Perek Yud Dal, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Now God is telling Moshe what the crime is now. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Ad ana yina'atsuni ha'am hazeh. Until when is this nation going to anger me? They're angering me, these people. And now he says what the crime is. Ve'ad ana lo ya'aminu bi. That's Talmud. Not that the neture kartas. Not that the anti-Zionists. That wasn't the claim that they said Anna Yom Ha'atzmaut. That wasn't the claim over here that they didn't raise the flag on top of the yeshiva. The avon over is Anna Lo Ya'aminu Bi. This is a lack of emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu and in God. And if you can have a lack of emunah in God and Moshe Rabbeinu, suppose the book and the religion, and therefore the punishment is going to be the most severe punishment I've ever heard in history. 40 years, people are going to die. No one's going in. And everybody will remember that, because the next generation will come along and say, why is it that they didn't go in there? They just say, why for it? Because they questioned Moshe Rabbeinu. And everybody's going to say, always when a story happens, you always want to know, did they get the lesson? Did they get it? Which means, we could say, for sure they got it. When they saw the snakes and they saw the stuff, but did they get it? I have a proof that they got it. What's the proof? The proof that they got it is because look what happens here. Now, just think of the story. This is what I thought about in the morning. This came to me. The Jewish people were in right after the story of the Megillah. They didn't read the guys mekoshesh. He collected some wood on Shabbat, whatever he did, chop wood, whatever he did. And what happened? They don't know what to do with the guy. So Bayanir Otuba Mishmar, they put him like in a Mishmar, in like a holding pen. They don't know what to do with the guy. Now listen to the story. They don't know what to do with the guy. Now how are they going to find out what to do with the guy? They have to ask Moshe. And what's Moshe have to do? Moshe has to ask God. Now they don't hear what God tells Moshe. Moshe's going to have to come. So Moshe never comes back. You know what he says? Got to stone the guy to death. Now, if I'm a regular guy, I say, what?
What?
Stone the guy to death? What the guy do? I mean, the guy, he collected some wood together. Mukse, what did he do about? There should have been a revolt. Stone the guy? Isn't that a little extreme? They say, now, after the service of the Gilim, however, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Sekilah, nobody's going to say a peep. No. And if you look at the pasuk, it says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe mot yimataish vagom oto ba'abanim." Now listen to the next pasuk. "Vayotziu oto kol ha'eda el mihutz la'mahaneh." Kol ha'eda. Everybody. Why is it something kol ha'eda? How many people need to escort him to the sekilah? That's what I was coming to say. Yeah. After what the Meragelim did, "Vayotziu oto kol ha'eda." וירגמו אותו בבנים בימות כאשר סיבה אדוני את משה. The classic love in its way.
They learned
the lesson. This is the lesson. That even if Moshe Rabbeinu says something that's beyond our understanding, after the Meragelim, and that's why Korach is so bitter, because he took the people back. Which is, we just got it. You took us backwards. We're going back to the old Ramon now. We finished with this.
We
got the lesson. We learned the lesson. And you're going to come now, because the Rishayim don't stop. Wait, did the Rishayim put the white flag up? Okay, I'm done. We go, the Rishayim, they lose a battle in Parashat Shelach. They come back in Korach. They come back with a bigger vengeance. The Sitra Achara always has many heads. You kill one head, another ugly head is weird. And that's what happens with Korach over here. So that's the Hadush. That's the punchline at the end of the story over here. What Rashi tells about the Mikoshesh. So they're saying that really it was... It was mission accomplished. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Everybody come, I'm giving it.